Hello, Rob. Bet you didn't think you'd see me again.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 10th to the 13th of June 2024. It's been a while, 2 weeks nearly it's been since we last did this. Hello, I've missed you lots. Ree is still sunning up in Portugal, so who have I brought out retirement? As Ree would say, does Julia's theme mean nothing these days? Ladies and gentlemen, it's Alex. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Rob. Hello.
Don't do the Northern accent. Don't do a Northern accent.
I was about
She'll
to
be listening. Stopped. She will be listening.
Hi, Ree. Hey, Ree. Thanks for watching. Hello, everyone. Hello.
All right, mate.
I'm back.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a bit nervous, actually. Genuinely a bit nervous. We've literally been talking for about what 45 minutes before we started.
Yeah, 45 minutes. Yeah.
And I felt fine through that little chat, and then as soon as I heard you are now recording, my stomach literally took a tumble.
Stage fright. Yeah.
Now I'm a bit nervous.
You'll be fine. You're an old hand at this. Emphasis on old. You'll be fine, don't you?
It's like falling off a bike, isn't it?
It is. Yes.
You'll learn it again at some point.
I mean, I've got to get the old jokes in now, because unfortunately I'm the oldest out of me and Ree, so she will now throw old jokes at me. So now I know how you used to feel whenever I used to do it to you all the time. So to be the young one of the pair again is a nice feeling, I have to say.
I know. And again, I put my foot in it earlier when we were talking about watching Formula One. And I said that when I was younger and the shops were closed, and your face just went.
Shops used to close.
Like, yes, shops used to close on a Sunday.
Shops,
in the UK.
We
had closed shops on a Sunday. What was a young lad to do on a Sunday?
Oh, nothing.
I was going to say,
were you ball in a cup?
Playing my ball in a cup. Yeah, that's right. That's
just the one.
That's
so it's been a time, Alex. How are you? I've missed this. You know, me and Ree have been doing fantastically. I think the audience have possibly missed, you know, that sexual tension that used to be there. That will they won't they thing, you know, it's but things have to change, don't they? You know?
Relax, we were called, weren't we, for a long
yes,
time.
Yes, Rolex. Rolex. Thing,
Rolex.
It? Yeah,
that's nice. It. That was us. Yes. And I'm the audience, I mean, they missed those days.
I had to go to America
and be arrested, eh?
Yeah, well, what I should say is there may be some people who have no idea who you are.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Hello, everyone.
So, introduce yourself to the newbies.
Hello, everyone. I'm Alex, and I'm a former presenter of a podcast which was similar to this one, but not quite. It was called Wolford Weekly, and we did it a long, long time ago. Mm. And I used to do it with Rob.
It should be powered by steam in those days.
It was. Mm. We used to do it on a Sunday because the shops were closed. And we used to talk about EastEnders, and I had lots to talk about on the show, and it was lots of fun. I still do a podcast from time to time. We do
I thought I'd quickly plug. Yeah.
I do one with my partner Ben. Hang on a moment, I just noticed a little warning has just come up there. There we go.
There we don't
want to get rid of that. We don't want to ruin that little background.
Oh,
do
look
we?
At the effort he's made.
I know. Piranha Pete there as well. Anyway, there's another podcast I do with my partner Ben, who again you may or may not know. If you don't know him, lucky you. And we talk about the Traitors, and we talk about the Traitors in the UK, in the US, and in New Zealand, and the Canadian series. Constantly, oh dear, it's gone.
No, it's gone off. See, yeah.
Screw that. That's that then.
That was a nice idea.
If you're not watching the podcast, you have no idea what we're talking about. We do that, and that's fun too. But other than that, I've got a lot to report. Although I do want to mention, I want to get it in there straight away, that I was right about something.
Yes.
And loads of people said to me that, you know, oh, stop talking claptrap, Alex. You're talking nonsense.
I may have
it's
been
not going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's a silly storyline. That's stupid. That's as bad as you saying that Phil Mitchell's going to get a dementia storyline. That's just ridiculous. That's madness. Stop talking about it. For 5 years while I was doing the EastEnders podcast, I said they could bring back Cindy Bill. No, everyone shouted. Stop with these stupid ideas. I leave the podcast And then what do the writers of EastEnders do?
They bring her
they
back.
They spite me. They now, spite me. And they bring back Cindy Bill.
Just to spite you personally. I mean, we will talk about Cindy when we're talking about her section of the storylines this week. Because I am dying to know, since you left and retired, and I mean, you do basically what you do is you do a lot of lying down these days, don't you? Like, now you've retired, you sort of...
My
sort
only
of,
fans, yeah.
Only... what have you been thinking about the show since you left? Because we've had, since you left, we had the Madness of the Six storyline, Cindy's come back, there's been all, you know, Lola's death, everything has been sort of kicking off, and it seems to have been one of the best years. You decided to leave basically one of on a really, really, really good year for the show.
I know I did. Yes, I must say the show is very, very strong. Again, I'm sorry to any Coronation Street fans, but comparatively, I think it's a remarkably better show. Mm. I think the content is been good, a good little balance. But I also think there should be a shout out of the way that for years we kept moaning about how ratings for EastEnders or all soaps were going down and what was the solution to it. And I think the BBC or EastEnders production have struck the absolute spot on balance.
Yes.
They release it in the morning on iPlayer. You can watch it in the evening. And I think that's the perfect. And I
it
think
works.
That's drawn a new audience. And I genuinely believe that's drawn a new audience. I watch it in the morning now. I don't watch it in the evening.
We remember we moaned when this was announced.
Yes,
you were furious.
I do. I mean, I think we kind of said like it was a trial and let's see how it goes. And when they then did it, we were both like, actually, this kind of works nicely. Mm. But obviously for podcast benefit, but also for the benefit of the viewer. I do. I think the balance is absolutely struck completely right. I don't know what ITV do, but obviously, again, that being advertising, they probably rely on a much
prioritize
more being
that,
aired live.
I would say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that in the case of EastEnders, the ratings are going up. There's a new audience interested in it. I have to say that the writing for young people in EastEnders is still very below par.
I would say to that.
Annoying me,
do you know what? But I would say to that, Alex, how would you know? Is my argument.
Because I'm young, Rob.
No,
heart.
You're not.
Everyone knows.
Young at heart.
I know,
yeah,
but
maybe.
Even I feel cringe.
You don't know. I don't. Yeah, I know what you mean. But this, you know, the scenes between Nugget and Denzel.
Shirley Carter and the Mysterious Feather.
When Nugget and Denzel are talking, I sometimes have no idea what they're talking about whatsoever. But I kind of buy that.
I'm sorry, it's Nuggle from this moment
Nuggle,
onwards.
There you go.
It's new, Nuggle. Nugget and Denzel and Nuggle.
I kind of that pairing, I think, like, I get what they're going for with it, and I don't know whether that's accurate or not. So it kind
Are we
of
talking about the
me.
Steroids storyline?
Well, we'll talk about that later, because
I have a bugbear with that one as well.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. We will get to that. Fine, the only other thing I want to ask you just before we start is, what did you make of the sixth storyline? Did you get it right? What was your prediction and how it turned out?
I got the person who died. I feel like I'm not allowed to say it's a spoiler, but it's not a spoiler, is it?
I got
Kino dying right. The person who did it wrong.
You'll notice he's anyone who used to watch Wolf of Weekly will know that Alex can never pronounce character names correctly. So yeah, Kino, carry on.
But no, Kino. If we're going to go this track, the Kino is because Phil can't say Kino's Muggles. Name correctly. Anyway.
Yes,
Kira, if we're going to go down this lane as well, right? Kira, every week I'd say it a different way, and every week I was told by different people it was wrong. So in the end, I just couldn't be bothered to change it anymore. So I just told him whatever I wanted to. But anyway
yes.
Yes, the six was a lovely storyline. Christmas, fantastic as well.
Yes.
Again, this is a bugbear with me about their scheduling of EastEnders late on a Christmas day, but that's just neither here nor there.
Because you want to go to bed by then, don't you?
Well, I've had a few sherries. I've eaten too many mince pies.
Yes.
I'm feeling a bit tired. But to be fair, I was very hyped up for this story, so it was very much worth it. I did like flashbacks are such a risk.
Yes, they are.
For them to do it, was it May time?
February.
They did the flashback. February. They did the flashback in February. It's remarkable how quickly the story has progressed. That's the only thing I would say. I thought it was going to be a lot more slow burner, but I'm presuming there's a lot more to come because
we've got the 40th coming up, so it's
the
presumably
40th is on its way in
that's going to
February,
be
eh?
because at the minute it's kind of difficult to tell, because I feel like by now when we were going towards the 30th we knew that the Lucy Beale storyline was going to be the big reveal and we knew that's where we were heading for the anniversary. I feel like at this moment we don't really know what the 40th is going to be about. We've kind of got an idea, oh, it's probably going to be based around, I would imagine the truth about the sixth journal will probably come out around that time, but it feels like there must be more to it than that, and at the moment we don't really know what that's going to be.
I agree. I think I they've not even really officially said that is going to be the 40th storyline.
No, that's true.
So to be fair, we might be clutching at straws and thinking it will be. Maybe they'll just sum it all up by Christmas and then they'll maybe do something else for the 40th. Who knows? But
who knows?
I mean, there's also the Panesar drama, don't forget, which I'm calling the succession drama, where it feels like the Panesars, which were a very strong unit when Nish left, are now slowly crumbling apart again because everyone's desperately trying to get the empire for themselves. That's a great story as well, I must say. I'm really enjoying that.
I love the Panesars.
I mean, the Panesars are a strong unit anyway.
And always have been, really, haven't they? Like, we've always
absolutely
been big pushers of the Panesars. Panesar pushers.
I'm a Panesar pusher, absolutely. And so I love the way that's going as well. I guess we're not talking about the Panesars because they weren't on this week, but I will quickly say that I do worry that that they're always bringing up in front of Vinny that Nish needs a transplant, may need a transplant.
Yes.
And every time I'm just thinking, they're going to get Vinny to give the transplant, aren't they?
Vinny's going to die. They can't kill off another Panesar kid, you know? One's in prison, one's dead, one's sort of basically never going to, Ash is probably never, is in Canada, they're never going to be seen again. So I feel like they need to be careful.
They do need to be careful, but then it's not, you know, look at what's happened with the Taylors. Two of them are dying.
I know.
Yeah. So it's not out of the ordinary, you know. Beals, there's half of them are flipping under the ground.
Yeah, Mitchells, half of them are dead.
I mean, the Mitchells, shenanigans. Shenanigans always come in under the tone of the Mitchells.
We'll talk about the Mitchells at the end of the podcast because some news was released about the Mitchells. Just before we start the main discussion of the episode, we will get there, we promise. you will remember, Alex, back in the day, we used to do a change the calendar every single month.
All right, yes.
Now, those days are long behind us, Alex. We used to change the dot. We used to change the dot back in our day, didn't we? It used to be a cotton calendar that used to get changed every month. Those days are long gone, okay? We changed the Peggy now.
You changed the Peggy.
Put the Peggy up the right way around for a start. Remade
this
calendar.
Oh, good job. What? When you say made, did we upload some photos onto a website and then have it posted to her?
No, she went to a woods. She sat the paper
woods?
And made. She made. She
I
sat
feel like
the
that's
paper
a brand
herself.
That only is in your area.
She sat and made the paper herself.
I see. She made the paper.
Yes,
on the wood.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That was a long way to get to that joke.
Sorry.
So it's
you May. Missed me, didn't you?
I have so missed you. May has gone and dusted. So that was May's picture.
It's Peggy, the 14th of June.
I know.
Have you not done it?
No, because we weren't here last week.
Oh, God.
I know. So this is June. Oh, Peggy with a water pistol. Peggy with a water pistol. That's a great picture, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to enjoy having that.
Look at that face.
Yeah, those were good days. I remember that episode well, actually. She's firing it at Yolandi at that moment, I seem to remember.
Yes. Bless her. Peggy was a lovely character, wasn't she?
She really was. Great, great character. Right. Should we crack on? We've chatted for
a while. Go on then.
You
might as well do something, eh?
So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get on with this week's Albert Square After Dark. So, we will start this week. We're talking about Ian, Cindy and Junior. Now, we weren't here last week, so we haven't had a chance to discuss the madness that was the Cindy and Junior affair starting last week. Now, Alex, as you said at the start, Cindy returning. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts and how and what have you like, what have your thoughts been on Cindy's return so far, basically?
Not as impactful as I thought it was going to be, but now it's starting to hot up. There you go. In a sentence. When you heard Cindy was coming back, you immediately thought it had to be associated with Ian, which it was. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was that phone call that he made during Dot's funeral.
Yeah, all the way back
in the bushes.
Remember when we used to complain that there was no pre-planning in the show anymore? Oh, that's back with a vengeance.
We all thought it was Jane, didn't we?
It must be Jane.
I didn't even give it a thought it could be Cindy. They brought Cindy back exactly how I said they were going to bring her back as well. Witness protection.
Yeah. It's the only way you can do it, actually, to be fair. You're very good. You're very, very good.
I said that. I loved the way that they brought her back, which was they did that flashback back to the 30th anniversary when he told Peter outside the Vic. And it was the old Peter as well.
I love that scene so much. They're actually using the old Peter as well.
And then they brought in the old Peter, if you think about it, but now it's the new Peter.
And he brought back Fat Boy just for the lols.
And Fat Boy. I mean, honestly, it was brilliantly crafted. Yeah. It was a lovely touch.
It was really well done.
I thought it was a lovely touch. So that was great. And you just saw her in the bushes of the square.
Where she belongs,
watching Ian crying, going, brilliant.
I loved how she was dressed when she did that. It's like she'd arrived in Walford by camel, wasn't it? She was all like...
Saudi Arabia, like.
Yeah, Arabian Nights. Yes, loved it.
She could be Jasmine.
She could. And we've sort of been building up as the months have gone on, thinking at some any minute now has been sort of become the catchphrase of our podcast, as you all know, because obviously you've been watching every single week. Any minute now has sort of become the phrase that we've been talking about Cindy and George. Like, oh, surely at some point this is going to happen soon. And we've had like the occasional kiss, but it would appear that Cindy's new target that she's now going to get her claws into. And one thing Cindy has always done very well, even back in the day, is have affairs. And bless her, she hasn't changed since then. No. I have never known a character to have such a mad life purely by her own actions. You know, soap characters do have crazy lives by sort of default, but Cindy is purely self-inflicted, I think. Like, she makes things happen to her as opposed to things happen to Cindy.
This is one of those things. And she's always the most self-pitied as well. She always feels sorry for herself after having matter of fact.
Yeah, more than anybody else. She's a complete and utter sociopath in many ways.
Oh, yeah. From the days of having an affair with a swimming instructor to today, like, she's just having a lovely time. She's just, I mean, Ian and Cindy, if we go all the way back, like, they were from the get-go. Cindy was always Ian's one. But unfortunately, Cindy didn't ever see it that way. From their wedding day, when they literally had an argument at the altar, and then they got married out of spite almost at the end of it. It was just like, you always feel sorry for him because he will literally go out of his way to try to keep hold of Cindy. And I know you've seen it with other women, other characters, Denise, for instance, where he, you know, kept his claws in her when Lucy went missing. And, you know, he's done it with a lot of them. But Cindy has been his only one. It's always been about Cindy. The mother of his kids as well, essentially. And
some of them, anyway.
Some of them, yeah. But, like, I think the ones he likes the most.
Yeah, in all fairness.
Lucy and Peter, to be fair. Yeah, the rest of them can just, you know. I mean, Cindy Jr. is also, you know, but again, I wish they'd bring Cindy Jr. in. That's something else I'd like to
see. We said this about Cindy Jr. It seems like that whole reveal was all done off screen, which seems a shame. So it seems that that's not going to be something that they're really going to focus on. It's sort of like they almost did that off screen to sort of tidy that little bit up of the sort of the plot of Cindy, and then left that to happen.
Well, I mean, it's left open a little bit because she went to see Cindy because Cindy Jr. didn't like her. She's built that bridge now, apparently. But I think it could still have Cindy come back and was like, hello, mum, and, you know, have her kind of being a little bit
recast,
spiteful.
I imagine, because Mimi Keane's doing quite well these days.
It would have to be a recast, which is a shame because I liked her as well. I like that this is Cindy's thing. I think it's hilarious that Cindy basically was married to the man which she's the son of who she's having the affair with. So it's like,
it's so Cindy, isn't it? That feels a bit weird. That whole thing with Cindy and Junior, it felt actually quite dark, I thought. Like, it's like the whole thing with Junior, like, what the hell is going on in Junior's brain? I tell you, like, there's attachment issues, there's having daddy issues,
and then
there's doing what he's doing, which seems to be actively chasing his dad's ex-partner who he suspects that he's still in love with. Like, that's a little bit dark and revengeful, isn't it?
Well, it reminds me a bit of what Ravi did to Denise. Poor Denise, I keep bringing her up as a reference all the time. It's like when, you know, she...
Hot with her new haircut,
Chelsea.
By the way, shall we just say?
I know,
Denise's
I love the bob.
Hair.
I love the bob. They said the Chelsea had a haircut too, but I was a bit like, I don't see that. But I saw Denise's. But that explains why Denise wasn't in the show for about 3 weeks, because she had a haircut.
Getting a haircut.
So they couldn't film any scenes because it would just look weird. Her hair would keep changing length. I mean, I at first I thought he was kind of doing it out of spite toward his dad. We know he's a
Serial cheater. He seems to be the
serial
new Max
cheater.
Branning, I
He
would
is the new
argue.
Max Branning, 100% the new Max Branning. I mean, people like Max Branning's character. I always thought that they exhausted what they could do with him, but this is a whole new person. This is a whole new character. There's a lot more traits and flaws to maybe look into with Junior. I thought it was a bit of a shame that his wife and his kid had gone, because I thought it'd be a nice little family unit and that was quite fun. But but not much of a shame that I thought, oh well, I kind of passed it on after a while. I was like, that's fine. But going
Monique's,
back
I don't think Monique was given that much personality, to be honest, was she?
No,
She
I
was, she
must
wasn't really
say.
gonna, she wasn't planning on, I don't, you got the impression they weren't planning on making her stick around too much, were they?
No,
Which
I
is a
don't think
shame, because I have to
effort
say,
wasn't high.
Monique and Xavier Knight are fantastic character names, I think. So it's a shame.
Xavier's a lovely name.
As I've said, it's not as great as Jazzy Phoenix.
Wow.
The actress who played Nadine, it was called Jazzy Phoenix, and I'm
Oh,
obsessed with her name.
really?
Oh, great name. I don't know if it's
Jazzy?
real, but I don't know if it's a stage name, but Jazzy Phoenix is an incredible name.
Doesn't matter. She gets her equity card and she's
She
fine.
does. So this whole thing between Cindy and George Jr. has now become a thing. You can tell that Cindy is now, despite all the protestations, she's clearly very, very interested in this eventually happening again.
Well, she
Junior
likes it,
is.
doesn't she? She likes the
She does. She loves the
attention.
chase, doesn't she? And she
She likes
loves
the
doing.
chase. She likes the comfortableness of being with Ian. She likes the being settled with Ian. She's even said so. But she also needs a little bit of adventure in her life. She'll never, ever be torn away from the adventure in her life. And I guess in France, perhaps she had that kind of like different lifestyle. In Waterford, what else is there to do other than walk around the
Other than
market
have
every day?
affairs.
Yeah, just have an affair.
I
I mean,
mean,
again,
I feel like she has, like, the more dangerous the affair, the more excited that she gets by
Yeah.
it. Because
She
this
likes it.
is her ex's son and her daughter's half brother, whilst they're all living on the square together. Like, it couldn't get much more twisted than that. And she is just not, it seems like she doesn't even really give that side of things even that much of a thought. Like, she'll kind of stand outside the gym waiting for him and kind of tell him off for being involved in Ian's fitness regime, whilst at the same time clearly quite glad that he is. Like, she's, the pair of them in some ways are actually very well suited together. They've got that level of twistness about them,
Oh
I'd
yeah,
say.
they're both proper tricky tricksters between them, 100%. I love the naivety of the typical naivety of Ian as well. Like he's just forgiven her finding out that she kissed George. Kathy, good on Kathy. She sees through her. She sees through her. But it's just the naivety of Ian. Like he just doesn't see what's actually plain in front of his face. And then when he it seems as though that Cindy, because I think another reason why Cindy does it is because I think she feels like she can get away with it. Like all she has to do is belittle Ian. Like when Ian found out that she kissed George, obviously at the same time there was the attack. And instead of feeling like instead of like Ian kind of like being sympathized by I've gotten their names now. Cindy.
You're doing so well.
I know, by Cindy. Instead she kind of used the attack against him and said like, oh, you're not being, you're not looking after my interests. And so she kind of twisted it straight away, turned it around from it being her fault for kissing George to being his fault for not showing an interest.
Borderline a bit of emotional abuse, let's be fair here.
That's what I mean.
She's not afraid of sort of playing dirty when it comes to Ian. And I wonder with Ian sometimes, I think that it nothing that I feel like nothing that he could find out about Cindy would surprise him. And there were times, and there was that moment when he found out about George and the kiss, where he basically turned around to Kathy and said, "Look, it's fine because I'm not going to be able to do any better." And she reminds me of Lucy. So it feels like in some ways he's almost using Cindy for his own needs in a lot of ways, like, but
That's
just
true.
less vindictively, I feel.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They're kind of using each other, aren't they? Like Ian's using it for his link to Lucy. Cindy's using him for the dependency of having a home and
And
having
all to
someone
get
she can fall
access to the
back on.
girls. Yeah.
Yeah, but then still having her cake and eating it with
Yeah, and
Junior.
then still kind of basically is doing something that could mess all that up at any moment should all this come out. Typical Cindy. So in arguably, do you think that Cindy has been written quite consistently with how she used to be? Do you think that she is,
Oh yeah.
yeah,
Oh, absolutely,
this is
absolutely.
the
Oh no,
Cindy
they're
of
not.
old that you recognise
Yeah,
and
this isn't the Janine return
no.
that we all will just need to kind of forget. It's they are actually keeping to a kind of consistency with her, and I think that they're basically using her stories as a strength of what she's always been used to doing, and that is just being a bit horrible to Ian. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sort of struck by the fact that Kathy and Cindy are sort of forced to live together at this stage, and I almost wonder if Cindy feels how. I mean, it's in no way the same thing because Kathy is much more justified in her feelings. But I almost wonder if Cindy feels how Kathy used to feel with Lou back in the day. You know, there's that evil mother-in-law that never used to give her no end of shit, basically. Mm. And just, I imagine she feels it's the same sort of thing.
Funnily enough, you saying that, it's like, we'll probably talk about Sonia, when Sonia was talking to Kathy in this week, there was feelings of like Pauline slash Lou there when she was sat around the same table. They were both, and she was kind of giving advice out about Reese. And so I think Kathy's kind of like the matriarchal character in that household.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I love most about EastEnders, I think, more than any other thing, is the fact that out of all the soaps, EastEnders is never afraid to refer back to its own history. And so
it should. 100%.
And you can have these characters. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but you know, the conversation between Sharon and Kathy, like these two characters have got such a rich and textured history together and apart, and that they can just occasionally just sort of meet up and have those sorts of conversations. It's such a strength for the show. And when you've got a producer in charge of it who understands that about the
Clenners.
Show. And we love Clenners, so you can take full advantage of that. It's great.
I think I just talk about the history of the show. I think another thing that shows how good using the history of the show is like in the 30th anniversary, the Lucy's death by on the hands of Bobby is still to this day. We're nine years down the line, and it's still a story that they can come back to, throw back to, and use for storylines in the future.
I have said, and I will fight it to my last dying breath, probably one of the greatest soap storylines of all time. Because we're still talking about it nearly a decade later, and it's still affecting characters' decisions. It's still affecting storyline directions. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing Cindy back brought a whole new element and a whole new side to it. It was an incredible storyline. I know people probably first were a little bit kind of worried about, oh, you're killing off Lucy Beale. That's a legacy character, you know. But then if it goes into this direction where you're still talking about it 10 years later and it's still having such a massive impact on the characters... No bad thing there, I don't think.
I agree. I think for spectacle, the best anniversary episode for me will always be, is like, Stacey, run! And then Randy falling off the roof. For spectacle, 100%, the live episode was spot on. But for legacy, 30th anniversary was just, I would almost say, by the book, it should be studied.
It should be
studied in university.
It's how you
the build up to it, the way they did the promos to it, the way it's now had the effects, nine and a half years on, we're still using storylines from it. And I know... we'd moan about it, but like the 35th anniversary, when everyone
you
said, liked like,
that, you liked the boat.
I
stuff,
liked the
you?
Episode, but look, has anything?
Denny, come of it
other than
no.
a bench in the middle of the square.
And Zach, we got Zach and Albie from it, but that was a sort of replacement. We feel like in terms of like it was sort of rectifying a mistake, wasn't it? Yeah,
that's right. So that's why I'm kind of excited. That's why we are talking about like the 40th anniversary, whether it's going to be the 6th or not. If it is the 6th, you need to start talking about. What's that going to do down the line? How's that going to affect things? Does this mean that the Panasars is more long-term? You know, it's Sharon, for instance, you know, so it's interesting. I wonder if the 6 would be more of a spectacle or whether it would be more of a legacy anniversary. Neither's a bad thing.
No.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing if it was one or the other, but it's interesting to think that way, I think.
The 6th storyline, I think, was so good because it was literally just... Soaps are very, very kind of commonly doing issued storylines these days. I think it's a thing
that's another good thing.
It was simply a case of putting your 6 most iconic women in multicolored dresses and letting them do their thing and letting
and
them
going to award ceremonies.
Yeah.
Going to award ceremonies, dressing like that. I mean, we've not seen Sharon at a Letitia Dean at a award ceremony for years and years and years and years.
No.
Clenshaw's like, go on, put on that lovely white wedding dress and have you there. And she's like, all right, then I will. And off she
Amazing.
Went. It's honestly, yes, I agree. I think in the spectacle of soap, because soap is a spectacle.
It is.
It's okay to do silly story. Well, not silly, but over the top.
But it was camp, and it wasn't pretending to be anything other than that. It was
absolutely
perfectly tongue in cheek. It knew what it was doing. It knew why it existed, and it just did that beautifully with no shame towards it whatsoever. And I thought it was fantastic.
So wheeling all the way back, that's why Cindy coming back was very good.
Well done. Yeah. To bring us back to the original topic, see, haven't you missed this, Alex? Haven't you missed this? My question to you now that Cindy and George Jr. seem to be a thing, is this now going to walk moving away from the potential of a Cindy and George Sr. affair?
Oh, this is the thing, you
Was
see.
this
I
just a
don't, I mean,
twist? Was this a twist that was just waiting to happen? And now is Junior and Cindy are now the new George and Cindy.
imagine if they did a thing where George she has an affair with George as well as George
I
Jr.
wouldn't put it past her
behind
for a
Ian's back.
second.
I wouldn't put it past her either. Again, it fits her character.
Yeah, it
I
does.
mean, I would 100% enjoy it. Again, we had a drought of affair storylines on EastEnders. It's
Yes,
something I used to complain about. It's like there was so many of them, and then all of a sudden, none at all. And this, it, I think, like if they're going to do it, then do it in style, you know. And like,
Do it properly.
I think that because George doesn't know that Cindy and George Jr. or does he know that they've done something together? I
He's
forget.
got an idea, I think. I think he's sort of, because I think the kiss is sort of public knowledge now,
That's everyone knows
so to
that,
say. Like, you
yeah.
know, Elaine knows about it, Ian knows about it, so the girls know about it. So yeah, Junior will know about it. But I think like anything really that's gone on between Cindy and George Jr. is basically known about. So it's just this new element of secrecy that's now coming into it. And if George Senior decides to kind of let Cindy in a little bit more, I agree with you. I don't think that she will hesitate to just have an affair with both of
Oh
them.
no. Oh, she'll
No,
go for it.
she'll go for it. Bring
Father
it
and
on, I'd
son.
say.
I love
Bring
it.
it
Actually, I
on.
really like
Bring
that.
it on.
I just wonder where Ian would fit in this equation. If he'd
Nowhere.
like I
At
know,
home,
that's the problem.
cooking food that's never going to get eaten. That'll be
Playing
Ian's role in
Scrabble by
it. But
himself.
and having Caffey just whinging in his ear. That's all. That's going to be Ian's lot in life
Oh, I'd
now.
love Kaffee to be in my life. Kaffee's
I know.
amazing.
Right. We will now move on to the next storyline, ladies and gentlemen, and that is Nugget, Denzel, and the return of Kim, Howie, Patrick, and Yolandi. The steroid storyline is kind of continuing in the background. Safe to say, I think, that they have started to take a proper effect on Denzel's personality, haven't they?
Isn't it just his little emotional swings?
Yeah, his little mood swings,
Denzel.
teenager.
I mean, yes, you could link it to him being a teenager, and I think a lot of them are, but
Yeah, at
no,
this
I think we're
stage,
meant to allude to the
hormones.
yeah, we're meant to allude though that it's his steroids that he's taking. I mean, for a lad who's taking, I mean, he's taking them in pill forms, isn't he?
Yes, supplements
Again,
he's taking them in.
it reminds me of when Bernie was on the diet pills. You
Oh
remember
yes, I remember that very well. Yes,
that?
yes.
So he's taking them as supplements. I don't know if he's just getting like conned. Maybe he's buying them off like TikTok or something like that. But
Bit of
like for,
placebo effect going on, do you think?
I think so because like he's like building. Maybe it's a small thing. It's just the small things with me. The thing is that with a
That's
show
the
which.
effect of steroids, though, unfortunately.
Well, that's the problem. Poor Denzel. Poor Nuggle.
Yeah, poor Nuggle.
That's why we'll start calling it Nuggle. It's the thing is that like. With the show's doing so well, and like there's so many stories that are so strong, it's like the little minor things that kind of like make my eye twitch a little bit. And
Okay.
it's like if he's been on them for like 3 4 months now. Like he first got caught out by Yolandi when Yolandi got that parcel, and he was like, yes!
That was
And
before he'd started even taking them, though, wasn't it? He was being an arsehole to
yes,
Yolandi.
that's right. He was getting a bit mardy. Surely, like he's in the gym all the time. He's like in his makeshift garage set, which reminds me of
Yes.
That film that you know that film with Kevin Spacey when he's in the garage and he keeps
Oh,
painting
yes. Yes,
American
yes, yes, yes.
Beauty.
Yes.
At some point he's
Wolf
going
of
to see
Beauty. Wolf of
Wolf of
Beauty.
Beauty. At some
There
point
you
he's going to
go.
see Nugget with flower petals falling onto him. He's like or Lucy.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to have built up much muscle. Does that make sense to you? And it's like
I mean,
confusing me a little bit. It's like I don't know why they can't just maybe put a little bit of a bodysuit on him or something, just kind of show a bit of
I don't know.
muscle.
I feel like that would be a
It's
bit of
a
a
very small
struggle.
thing, and I'm a
I know
twat
what
for
you mean,
saying it.
but
I appreciate him.
I feel like it would be a bit of a struggle, I feel, because he wears a lot of vests and that's normally the gym gear. So I think it's supposed to be that we're sort of imagining that this is really start. I think the storyline is more about how it's affecting his personality, I
Yes, I
think,
know,
isn't
I
it?
know, I
And I
know. It's
don't
just
and
the
the, let's not
small
pretend that me
stuff.
and
I'm
you and
sweating.
the, let's not pretend that me and you understand how long these things take, Alex. I know you go to the gym and I've got a personal trainer these days, you might have
Oh, have
missed.
you now?
Oh,
This
I
is new
have.
information.
Oh, I
What's
have.
his
I've
or
got
her name?
his name
His, I
is
knew it would be him.
Matty. Of course it is.
Is Matty a good-looking chap?
Yes, he is.
Will
And
Matty be watching this
as
podcast?
if, no, he won't, I hope. I've told him about it, but I've sort of given him very vague details and the on the off chance that I might mention him. And almost I could have predicted that if I was going to mention him, it would be with you.
What
And
do you do at the gym? I'm interested.
I do leg days and I do upper body
Push
days.
and
So I'm like,
pull.
yes, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm on the ab crunch and all that kind of thing. There's some torturous medieval devices in
It's
a
the
gym,
next
isn't there?
morning, isn't it?
Oh, I'm walking around like, oh,
You look like Mr.
it's.
Burns, your arms like that,
I
walking
do,
around.
really, really fragile the next day. But it is working, so yeah, I am enjoying it. But
Good for
the
you.
reason I got a PT was because I know full well that I wouldn't go otherwise. So
Well,
it's that gives you that
that's
discipline,
fair.
doesn't it? It gives you that discipline.
Absolutely.
But this whole thing with Nugget and Denzel, like now I feel like Nugget starting to take the steroids is going to have the most negative impact. And I wonder if this is going to be what eventually sort of sorts out Denzel's brain when he sees his best mate kind of did he die or something, you know?
I don't think. Well, I hope it wouldn't go that far. I mean,
No, I hope he
is
doesn't go that
Nugget?
far,
Is it
but
no? Is Nugget taking them though? Because the last time I
he's
saw him,
taken a
he kind of
couple.
went.
Oh, you didn't think he, you don't think he
Then
took
spat
it?
them
No,
out again.
because he took one and then had a stomach ache. But I think the
That's right.
implication,
Yeah,
I think the
Nugget.
implication is that he is sort of
Oh,
keeping take.
Nugget.
He's a, he, I see. I will have no bad things said about Nugget because I
No,
love Nuggets and I
I love
always
Nugget,
have.
and they're just
I
catching up.
always
He is
have.
he's like kind of a dweeby character, isn't he? It's like
He
he's already
is,
broken up a
bless him.
relationship.
Yeah.
So because he was feeling like he was losing his best friend, and then
Yeah.
in order to keep his best friend for even longer, it's like when they're at the gym and
Teenage problems, isn't it?
I know, I do. I kind of sympathize. Like when Denzel's in the gym and he's like, "Oh, see that girl? Oh, yeah, she's good. I might get a video with her." And Nugget's kind of just there with his weights going, with like 2 kilogram weights going.
But this, yeah, I know. But this is the interesting thing about this dynamic, I think, is that whatever these drugs are doing to Denzel, they're giving him that level of arrogance that require, you know, and you know what teenage lads are like. They think that it's all about bravado, and Nugget hasn't got that bravado. And
No,
whatever,
he hasn't.
and whatever Nugget, whatever Denzel is taking, it's giving him that bravado, which sort of, and you get the impression that Nugget very much looks up to Denzel.
Oh,
So,
100%. And that's why he was so concerned when he felt
yeah.
like he was losing him to Amy. And like he made that lie up about Amy so that he
Yeah.
would break them up. And Amy's like, "Oh, I see in you the scum there." Which is fair, to be fair, because he did lie in order to
Yeah,
keep his
yeah.
best friend. But it's like you kind of sympathized with his, because really Nugget, other than Denzel, has no one else on the square. He's got his sister, obviously, but his
Yeah,
sister's
and
kind of off doing
Suki.
other things.
Where do you see this plot going now? Like what is the what's the ultimate outcome of where this is going to go, do you think? With the
Well, it's
steroid.
going to go that Denzel gets more and more and more unhinged, and the
Yes.
family
Become more
won't
and more
notice it.
concerned and won't know what to
Yeah.
do about
Won't
it.
know what to do about it, and they'll just put it down to teenager being a
Teenage
teenager. Then,
angst.
and then I think because there's a lot of kind of like overhearing or seeing things from a distance in the recent EastEnders, and I feel like that you'll find like Nugget kind of there shaking with his bottle of pills like that, going, and maybe I don't know. Kim will see or Harry will see, and they'll be like, "What are you doing?" And she'll be like, "Oh, Denzel did it." And then, it'll
It'll
be that,
domino from there.
it'll domino from there. I mean, I do, I it does, it Denzel needs to kind of, I think he just, if they just need to do something a bit more for his physical fitness. I think you hear about him being at the gym all the time. I just feel like you need to see him almost do it to a point where he's almost at collapse. So he's like
Right, okay, I
overly
see,
over the top now. So you
yeah.
can really see that like these pills are kind of like
The
egging
mental
him on.
effect it's having on him. Yeah,
Because
I
I don't
agree, yeah.
I think it's not just the, because obviously this all started from when he got attacked, and they kind of by that 35-year-old teenager, and
Yeah.
that was mad.
Yeah.
And he felt like he felt inadequate. And so since
Yes.
then, it's kind of damaged him a little bit. There's something triggered in his brain that he feels like he needs to show that he can be up with the other guys and be just as strong. And I feel like that still needs to be investigated too. And I think the trauma of that needs to just be discussed. And I'm sure it will be discussed once it's discovered why he's taking the steroid pills. But yeah, this discovery is inevitable.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like a summer storyline, so I feel like it'll be all summed up by about August time, ready for
Okay.
September to then ramp up the six or whatever they're planning for the
Yeah, I
anniversary.
think so. My only other thing to ask you around this group of characters is the return of Yolandi, which I think most people are agreed has been
I
a bit
love
of a has been a
Yolandi.
bit of a triumph, hasn't it? Like
Oh,
Angela Winter
yeah.
showing what she can really do. I think everything that went
And
on
it
with
gives
past.
Patrick a purpose.
Yeah, I mean, did you enjoy the two-hander?
Oh, I was about to say, that was
How
a
long were
fantastic.
we praying for a
I know, for a
two-hander? And the
two-hander.
Clanners era has given us two so far. So he knows what those fans like, doesn't
He
he?
knows what we want.
He does. We had a little bit of a mention of the Clayton storyline this week, where it seems that Levi has disappeared and Pastor Clayton is now in charge of Jordan's baptism. What do you think has happened to Levi? Why has he suddenly disappeared? And what has Clayton done, basically?
Well, Clayton's had form in this. If you remember
Yes.
when they did the, I don't want to call it a flashback because it's not
It kind of,
flashbacking.
yeah, it kind of was kind of,
Yeah, it
yeah.
was kind of like a this Clayton's history. It was like a CV being played out on screen. Not a good one either.
No.
He's got past with this. He's done it before where he's abused one of his clergy, and then they've gone and reported him, and then he's ended up being on the more positive side of it, and the person who reported him has either had to move away or do something different. I mean, Yolande doesn't want to take it any further. Historically, we know that something like this is incredibly, rightly or wrongly, is incredibly difficult to prove.
We went through the stats on the episode that it happened. The stats are ridiculously difficult to sort of prove that anything's happened, especially with, and I say the word just in the loosest of terms here, but just sexual assault itself is difficult enough to prove. So you kind of feel that Yolande's facing a bit of an uphill battle here. If Levi disappeared and like the one person that she kind of felt that she had on her side has sort of left now, she's sort of now just left basically about where she started. And now Patrick is suggesting the police, which she was battling against up to now. So you kind of wonder how much success is this going to garner? It's been quite a while since the assault actually happened. So are we going to meet again some of these victims that we met in the flashbacks?
That's not something unprecedented for them to do, is it? They bring a victim who Clayton's had abused before, and then they kind of discuss it. There's like a discussion between the victim and Yolande. I doubt they would, but I don't want them to kind of do the, make him run out of town, because enough of them get together and they kind of check him out. That's
torches and pitchforks and stuff.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Like Michelle when she had the stalker. Like we don't want anything like that. That was just silly. It's the difficulty of the legitimacy of proving it, and that's where it's difficult not to tie yourself in knots with something like that as a writer and to have it produced. So I'm wondering, I don't know how they would do it. I mean, obviously it's not just Yolande and Patrick who knows. I'm sorry, I forget the name. Linda's mum.
Elaine? How can you forget Elaine?
Sorry,
name?
I'm sorry. I'm bad. My Irish cream. Last week when she was in the Vic and she was, there was no need for this line, but she was just talking to this random person at the bar. Yeah. She went, yes, and it's just cream, so it's good for you.
I love her.
Oh, hi, Elaine.
We love Elaine on Albert Square After Dark. I don't know what your thoughts are on her. I feel like I really think she's great. And I loved the sort of impact that she had on the Patrick and Yolande storyline.
Yes. So in the laundrette when Yolande, because that episode, again, I thought that episode was fantastic. And the way I feel like it got buried a little bit, in the sense that I don't think it'll be as well remembered as maybe other kind of episodes that would have done something similar. But when Yolande was helping the fundraiser and then he locked her and Clayton was in the room with her, then she was on the stage desperately trying to keep composure, came off the stage and then walked and she went into the laundrette.
Yeah.
And then Elaine met with her and they had that brilliant dialogue between them.
Yeah.
I feel like that scene, I hope that scene gets mentioned in something, like an award or to something.
Well, it would get mentioned in the ITV Soap Awards if they were doing it this year, Alex. However,
are they not doing it this year?
No, we've not heard about this. Oh, no.
Is that because of Philip?
ITV can... No, I don't think it is, because they got Jane McDonald to do it last year.
Of course they did.
Yes.
Icon.
ITV kind of postponed the Soap Awards this year.
You know why, don't you?
Of course we know why.
Coronation Street and Emmerdale aren't doing very well.
And you know what they did? They did an award show on This Morning. and EastEnders didn't win a single award.
Of course it didn't. There's no bias at all.
No
bias whatsoever.
Although, suspect.
The woman who, again, you'll probably know the journalist's name, but
she's
a writer now.
Sharon Marshall.
She writes for EastEnders now, doesn't she?
Yeah, so that must have felt weird for her. I mean, to be fair, Sharon Marshall has written for Emmerdale as well. She's sort of been she's one of these that's been sort of all over the soap.
I mean, she's a fan of soap.
She loves soap. So it's great. But yeah, no, that was very odd. So there we go. So we'll sort of see it was all sort of briefly mentioned this week. I feel like the Patrick and Yolande stuff is going to sort of pick up again next week. So we'll sort of see how that goes. On to the bigger storylines of this week now. And should we talk about Bianca?
Yes, go on then.
Let's have a little chat about Bianca, Rhys and Sonia. So, we discovered a little bit about Bianca this week, and then Bianca swiftly left, I felt.
Yes.
I felt like we got some insight into why Bianca is acting the way that she has. And then she then got drunker, then drove off in a taco van, which
drunk,
I feel like
yeah.
is, yeah.
Did she leave though, or are we led to believe the conspiracy theories online? And
Which are?
Reese took Bianca to a warehouse
No,
for shenanigans.
I haven't seen
seen
this.
There's a couple of theories out there right now. I do want to share them really quickly.
Right,
so one
do.
Of them, one of them is that basically Reese saw Bianca drive away. He followed. I don't know if he's got a driving license, but somehow he followed.
He has. I've seen him drive, but his car doesn't work. We got that.
That's
his
why his car
broken.
Don't work. That's true.
Sorry to crap all over those theories straight away, but you can't.
He could,
his car doesn't
he could
work.
still get
he
a car. He
one.
could steal one. Yeah, there you go. So he drove. He drove and met up with Bianca, and then took her away, and that's why she can't be contacted or anything. And the second theory is that Reese's wife is in hospital, not because of an injury that caused her to get in a coma.
Seen this. Yes.
Yeah, but at the hands of Reese himself.
So, yeah, let's talk about Reese because
they better not damage my Reese because I love Reese.
No,
so
see,
now you know
I
right now.
Really enjoy Reese and this sort of. I know that he's a bit. He seems to have turned into a bit of a Marmite character. I think some people really enjoy Reese and some people really don't like him. And I wonder if some of it is because they're unsure of his motives. Chris Clenshaw said a little while back, I'm talking a little while back now, that he was quite pleased by the reaction to Reese because he, like, that people weren't quite sure what to make of him. And I feel like that hasn't changed all that much because this week has been the first sort of big Reese and Sonia week that we've had for quite a while since this whole IVF thing started. The problem I always think with IVF plots is that they have to be lengthy. They have to go on for quite a while to sort of be remotely
at least
realistic.
9 months.
Well, exactly. And this has been going on for quite a while now, to the point where I didn't realise that Debbie's in a care home. I thought she was in hospital, which was making me question, like, how long do they, to sort of, you know, ask it nicely, but how long is she allowed to be there for? But
also, is it a private care home or is it NHS?
I'm not sure, but this is the first time I thought that they referenced the fact that she was in a care home. I thought she was in hospital. And then they sort of were talking about Debbie's care home because I was sort of kind of like, right, so what? Bianca followed him to the hospital and then found him.
Bianca's discovery was a stretch, in my opinion, as well. It's like the fact that she saw him. How did it start? He was talking about, she found out that he was asking money from Kat, and then he made a phone call, and then she followed him, and then that she put two and two together and made he needs money. You know, it's like, he has money.
I mean,
it's really weird.
This because now Sonia's after add-ons for. I'm not gonna lie. There's
Sonia.
Been a whole.
Sonia
were
always
whole,
Sonia, weren't she?
Yeah, bless her.
Because
I mean,
Sonia's done this. She's got past with this, hasn't she? On two occasions now, she's looked after an elderly person, and then they've written her
money.
Into the will. Yeah, so she might as well do it three times, make a hat trick.
Yeah, why not?
We're
third
on
time's
Sonia.
A charm. I mean, there have been many elements to this IVF plot where I will admit a lot of stuff has gone over my head where they've been using technical terms and stuff. I mean, there's no reason for me to understand IVF in terms of, because I've no plans to have children. So there's many elements to it that I don't sort of need to know. So a lot of it sort of gone over my head a little bit, especially when they, you know, start talking about add-ons, as you know, in the same way that, you know, I'm playing Bejeweled or something, I can pay a fiver to get like extra lives or something. That's all my understanding of add-ons really is.
Leather interior in a car.
Yeah, well, that sort of. Well, I'll always pay for that.
Oh, of course, that's an add-on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dip it to Debbie's fund anytime.
I'd call that a necessity. So this IVF thing, because obviously last week Sonia discovered that she actually had no, she thought she was pregnant, and then she went to the hospital and discovered that there was no baby. So she was very keen to get the IVF started again. And Reese was sort of like, are you sure about this? Because you can grieve a little bit first before we go any further into this. And Sonia just wanted to kind of get on with it again. And Bianca has now been battling with Sonia all the way through because she's really taken a dislike to Reese. And as she discovers more about Reese as the week goes on and understands what's been going on a little bit more, this battle between her and Reese really starts to heat up. Now, this was the start, I thought, of them starting to maybe hint at a slightly darker side to Reese. Like, he was a little bit more aggressive. He was a little bit more fiery. Bianca seemed to bring out a bit more of a nasty side to him. But I don't know whether that was just because he was arguing with Bianca, who, let's be honest with her, for all her
she'd
good
wind
points,
anyone up.
She'd wind anybody up. She'd like she could get the dark side out of a nun, could Bianca. So you've got to sort of wonder, is it more to do with that? Have people sort of been looking for something that isn't supposed to be there? Or are there still questions about Reese? Is there a dark side to him?
I mean, Bianca is kind of, again, almost desperately scrambling to try to keep people on her side. Like, she lost Whitney. Whitney's gone now. Sonya kind of pushed her away as well because she kind of took Reese's side. You have to, for me, it's like everyone, we seem to be blaming Reese for all this, but like Sonya has been or has become complicit with it now, and she doesn't seem that upset about it either, other than the kind
No.
of like a little bit like we, you
Because you
know,
didn't tell me.
you didn't tell me. Yeah, that's it. It wasn't
That
that
seems to be the
she
main
took the
bone of
money.
contention. It wasn't that at all. She was like,
Yeah,
oh no, I do that sort of thing all the time, Reese. Don't worry about
yeah, I'm taking
that.
money from many of coffin,
Please,
but
let me tell you my history.
my bank account's full of money.
We have so much in common. Oh my God, it's not just the brass instruments.
Yeah,
We have so
hooray.
much in common. So yeah, she seemed to sort of get over that quite quickly. There was a night, like you said earlier, there was a
There
nice
was a
chat
lovely scene
between
with
Kathy and
Kathy,
Sonia.
and I
Yeah,
think
yeah, yeah.
Kathy spoke sense as well. I think
Yeah, she
Kathy was
did.
right. I think it's a
I
blip,
kind of
you know, it's
agreed
not
with
what
Kathy.
Rocky
Like,
did.
yeah,
Yeah,
no, it's something I'm
he didn't
struggling
burn a
to sort
cafe
of.
down.
No, he didn't. I'm sort of struggling to see this side of Reese that everybody else seems to be getting. I get that there is supposed to be an element of ambiguity about him a little bit, but I'm still not seeing. I wonder if he. There is the potential for him, because I did wonder at one point whether they were just going to show him putting a pillow over Debbie's face or something. Like,
I
there's
thought
some.
that too. I
Fluffy
thought that was going
pillow,
to happen. I know, he's just fluffing it.
Or my other thing that I thought was going to happen this week was at the end of the week Debbie was going to open her eyes or something. You know, something was going to happen with the Debbie stuff, and I'm still kind of clueless as to where the Debbie element of the storyline is going. Like, surely there's a
It's
reason why
weird.
she's still a thing, if you get my meaning in
Yeah,
terms of the
it
storyline.
feels weird that it's kind of like they've painted themselves into a corner slightly with Debbie.
This
It's
has
like,
been over a
what can
year,
they
surely
do?
now, since we first met Debbie.
Oh,
Not
Dot's
far off.
funeral.
Yeah, not far.
Well, since we've
Well, a
met
little bit
Debbie, I
later.
suppose, yeah. But yeah, a
Yeah.
bit later on then. It's just it feels yeah, it feels like what can they do? What can
Where
they
is this
do with
going?
Debbie?
Where is
I
this
know.
going?
I just it's weird. I mean, I the thing with me is that like I feel like Bianca is blaming the wrong or is wrongly blaming Reese for something that both Sonia and Reese are on board with, but Bianca can't kind of figure out in her mind that someone like Sonia would do, even though she should kind of realize that. It, like, I know it sounds a bit cruel, but Sonia has done this in the past, you
Yeah,
know.
she
But not
has.
in this
Yeah,
kind of such a cruel. I'm not saying Sonia did it on purpose in a kind of cruel way. It's just that she has kind of cared for, like,
and
she's the
her most
kind of.
desperate moments, Sonia occasionally reverts into this
She
mode, doesn't
stole.
she?
She stole money. Remember, she started that weight loss
Yeah,
group. She stole
yeah,
money
yeah,
so she could have the gastric band put on. That's
yeah,
when we met
yeah,
New
yeah, yeah,
Martin. You know, she
yeah,
passed
yeah,
out
yeah.
outside the Vic. So,
She's
you know,
taken
it.
Dots money before, you know.
She's
She
taking
so
Dot's money before,
she's
you
got a
know,
history of
she's
this.
got
So
form.
yeah.
And so, you know, I don't think it's, I think Sonia, not Sonia, I think Bianca's almost blaming Reese. Again, it's a bit like Nugget and Denzel in a weird way, that Bianca's trying to get rid of Reese so she can have Sonia for herself because she's lost Whitney. And it feels a little bit like that, because
Okay.
that's happening in the background, it made Bianca a bit more desperate to become, to kind of convince Sonia into pushing Reese away a little bit. And when the money thing came up, it kind of became an excuse or a reason for it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we also learned that Bianca's got depression, but she's not
Yeah.
taking her medicines.
Now, because I quite enjoyed this moment where she was talking to Kat, and apparently she spoke to a doctor who was talking to her about her outbursts. And the first question she was asked was, do these outbursts happen often? Yes.
I
Yes,
mean,
they
since
do.
she was young, I mean,
She
is
was young. She's always had these outbursts. In fact, the only thing
hmm.
that I've really been missing with Bianca, because she's had quite a very Bianca type return this time around. I remember the last time Bianca came back, properly for the Callum and Whitney wedding. I thought Bianca was actually quite understated for the most part. She didn't like go into mad Bianca mode like she has done this time. But the one thing I have missed about Bianca is when she used to just let out a random scream of fury before she attacked somebody. Do you remember? I remember her fighting with Jane and having that food fight when they were both dressed as fish, and she would just like rah! And just throw fish at people. Like, she's such an angry woman, and she always has been. So I quite appreciate that they're actually starting to delve a little bit into her psychological makeup, but then to sort of reveal this about her and then sort of send her off seems a bit weird.
It was a bit like dropped and then run, wasn't it? It was
Yeah.
kind of like, oh, and she's got depression. Bye.
I could
And off she
perfectly
went.
imagine, like, I could imagine them fine, like, as them having this moment where Sonia and Bianca fell out because of the Reese storyline, and then Bianca realizing that there was nothing for her to stay around for anymore, and then just going off, and that would have kind of felt like a fairly satisfying ending for it. But instead, they've added this extra element and then sent her off, which feels a bit. So it feels like, is Bianca gone, or is she coming back, or what's going on?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I think I obviously they added it for a bit of peril for Sonia, because then that kind of also puts a bit of a stick between Reese and Sonya again a bit more, doesn't it? I mean, Kat is the champion of Bianca as well.
I thought it was nice. Yeah, I like Kat and Bianca's relationship.
I loved Kat actually this week as well. When we'll talk about it when Karen and Sharon has that bit at the back of the Vic. That was a really sweet moment, actually, I must say. And at that moment, I
she's turned grown to, a lot, hasn't she, Kat, in many ways.
I said they're finally using Kat as instead of stereotype Kat,
matriarchal almost, isn't
Kat
she?
A bit more. Because really, they've just made Kat very stereotypical Kat, like the Kat you kind of remember as being...
This is the problem, I think, with a character like...
Total slag.
Well, this is the problem. I think with a character like Kat, there's only so long you can do total slag Kat for. You know, this is a woman who's now in her 50s, you know, so...
She becomes a parody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's sort of difficult, I think, to maintain that. So you've got to sort of scratch away at an additional element and sort of give her a new role in the show a little bit. Not to say that she's old or anything, but, you know, I just think realistically, as a human being, you would sort of start to go away from habits that you had when you were younger. Like you say, because otherwise you become a parody and a stereotype of a former character. So I think it's interesting now that she's sort of developed... Kat's more about friendship these days. Obviously, the Kat and Alfie thing will eventually sort of... fall back. Just accept it. It's happened. You know, I know, I agree. I feel like Kat has actually grown. I feel like Kat has grown out of Alfie a little bit, but it seems that they will eventually return there. So, you know, whatever. Just accept
it. It's just Alfie. You know my opinion on Alfie. I won't
cheat the fat
too much
well.
On that. But yes. We haven't talked about the other big return also, by the way, Big Mo.
I know. Are you happy to see Mo again?
I mean, it is what it is, isn't it? She's always going to be a kind of like sit on the Vic.
She's a nice character to kind of have around,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, she's fine to have
around. She has a good role to play. And I like her relationship with Stevie. I think that's working quite nicely. I like Stevie a lot. I was unsure at first, but I've really grown to like Stevie. And of course, this Stevie is the new sort of thing that, which I know you're going to be all over, is the building of Billy Mitchell.
I know.
Billy had his time. This is the era of Billy in many ways, isn't it?
I know. But then it was inevitable they were going to build the Mitchells. Let's be honest. The Mitchell building was inevitable because
We will talk about the Mitchells, the news about the Mitchells later. But I think it is interesting. But I want to sort of just kind of sum this up and say, where the hell does the Reese story and Sonya story go from here? And when do we see Bianca again? Because that can't be the end of Bianca's little... Why would they put that in and then send her off? That doesn't make any sense. So what is... going to happen, do you think?
I mean, could it be just a Zoom call with Bianca? Because obviously Patsy Palmer's quite happy in America, isn't she?
I think she's back in America now, so she's...
I don't think she's going to be coming back for any kind of long term. She might come back for maybe a couple more episodes.
I felt like she slotted in really nicely back into the day-to-day running of the show. I really like when she was back at the calf. I was like, oh, this is nice. This is Bianca back, and this felt... It felt good. So I was sort of like, I would happily... At one point, I wouldn't have... Because there were times when I was younger, and I think as I've gotten older, I've appreciated Bianca as a character more. But I remember when I was younger, I didn't like Bianca as a character. I wasn't a fan of Bianca at all. But now I've kind of gotten older and watched old episodes, like watched the old uploads that they're doing on iPlayer now, and sort of seen Bianca back in her prime, so to speak, you know, with the sort of Whitney and Tony story, and realised what a great character Bianca actually is. That I feel like when she was back doing the day-to-day stuff, I was loving it. And sort of like, that really, really feels right. So I could quite happily have Bianca back as a regular character. Whether Patsy Palmer wants to do that again is a different matter. But
Patsy Palmer wouldn't. I can say that 100% with sincerity. No. The thing with Bianca, for me anyway, and I'm happy to argue the toss, but for me, with Bianca, I think is she is good in smaller doses.
Okay,
I think
with
Bianca, because she's so fiery, so aggressive, and so kind of like, over the top almost.
Yeah.
I think in small increments, it works. If she was put back into... And the fact that she can slot into the show so easily shows that the show is in a good position where that kind of stuff can happen. So you could just bring someone in for a little bit and come out and in and out. I mean, if they were to bring Bianca back, I would then say, well, why not Carol?
Carol and David. Bring Carol and David. And now you've got Cindy back. It feels like, why wouldn't you bring David back for a little bit?
It invites itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let Cindy have three affairs on the go. Why not?
Have Carol.
Why not?
They go by, you know,
it's a polyamorous affair. Why not?
But no, absolutely, I agree with you with the Wixies as well. I mean, bring 100%. Simon back if you fancied it.
Yeah,
I mean,
why not? Nick Perry, what's he doing these days? Why not bring Brooksy back?
He's just getting the money from the Heartbeat Releasing
Yeah,
me.
that must be going down ever so slightly these days. Right, so final storyline of the week, ladies and gentlemen, I thought was a real highlight of this week, was the funeral of Keanu and Linda going to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting at last. Final storyline of the week, and Father's Day is arriving and Linda is finding it difficult. So, I mean, I understand why she is on the verge of this breakdown and why Sharon has to take us to Alcoholics Anonymous, because Linda really has fallen off the rails. I would argue, I don't really see why she had to be thrown into a bath and hosed down. Like...
Shits and giggles, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, I mean, literally, that's all that seemed to be about, really. I get that they had to sober her up, but really, just kind of pour coffee down. You don't need to hose the poor cow down,
the fact
surely.
That Johnny also encouraged it. He was like, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah.
Come on, Sharon.
In fact, at one point, it was like, no, I'll do it. It's fine.
Yeah, give me the hose.
Give me the hose. It'll be
Hello,
fine.
Hello, mum.
New Johnny, what are your thoughts on New Johnny? I've grown to like him. I'll be honest, when he first arrived, he was a bit Ben-like for me.
I was about to say that.
But I feel like they've calmed him down a little bit now, and he's sort of feeling a little bit more like the Johnny of old. So, and I think the actor's great, but it's just the way that he was being written, I thought, wasn't quite what I wanted from Johnny. But I think he's kind of growing into it now.
Yeah, no,
think?
It's fine. I same as you, he's warmed to me a little bit, but then he's not in it. He's
and his
not
beard, he
so
looks,
often.
Hey, I thought he looked very good this week.
He's a good-looking guy.
I do. I quite like him with facial hair, I have to say.
I like that he's part of the Six story as well. Like, he's one of the very few, him and Jack. There is a third, isn't there? Other than the Six, who know about what had happened.
I forgot all about the fact that Jack knew about it.
Yeah, Jack knows. Of course Jack knows about it.
Jack knows everything, doesn't he?
Jack, meh. I feel like it's inevitable, and get ready, Ballon fans, to send the hate that him and Callum will get together at some point.
Yes,
it's inevitable.
See, this is the thing with the Johnny thing, right? Okay, so it's all very well that you would say about Callum, no, he would never ever go with anybody other than Ben. He is dedicated to Ben. I'm sorry, but that means that you are thereby restricting Callum of any storyline. So you want him just to be a background
character.
Just
look at what's happened to Callum
for the rest
since.
Of eternity, right?
Since they did the thing with Ben, you know, doing a fraud in America. I'm sorry, that makes me cry. I'm sorry, that's hilarious. So he got done for fraud in America and then got sent to an American prison. We're not going to see Ben realistically now as a character.
For a number of years.
For a number of years. Since Ben's left, there has literally been nothing for Callum to do. He has become a background character, just gangling along, just going, I'm Callum.
I hear tell that there is stuff coming up for him in the next couple of weeks.
I was about to say, I think that his policing as a detective, I'm strongly using inverted.
Do you remember when I remember when we used to do a podcast, Callum was a support officer. Do you remember those days? And now he is literally a detective.
Well, it happened if you remember rightly, he was a police officer. Oh no, he became a police officer after COVID, wasn't it? So COVID happened, he was a police officer, because the first scene was him getting someone's going, yo, nicked. And then he showed his badge. And then, in the matter of weeks, not even months, in a matter of weeks, he had done the training enough to be a detective. Then he was sat in front of a laptop looking at CCTV footage at Denise going in and out of hotels.
He has grown.
He's
climbed the
grown
ranks.
So much,
he will be head of police by the end of the decade. This week wasn't about Callum.
It was about Johnny.
That's how we got
about him
that.
All day long.
I knew that we were going to end up getting there at some point with you. It was only a matter of time. I'm frankly amazed it's taken this long. But so the Six storyline was kind of parked, I think, in just the right way so that the other characters, because the Six storyline was a massive part of 2023. So I think it was right that the Six storyline was sort of parked whilst other characters could
do some
stuff.
It was going at such a speed. It was going at such a speed. I was shocked by how quickly they were getting through the story.
You had to give
them
a moment. Yeah, you had to give them a moment of just sort of breather, let the characters recover from what had happened to them as well, I think, as well. You know, Denise having a mental breakdown and Sharon going to Australia for a few months. You know, Linda basically just completely and utterly falling off the wagon. This presumably is the start of Linda sorting herself out, and I have to say, even though it clearly is necessary, I am going to miss Linda being drunk.
Are you?
She's the I love
I'm
Linda drunk.
Tired of drunk.
Oh,
no,
shush.
I was no.
What? No,
no,
I
no,
love
no.
Linda drunk.
I was
yes.
getting really, really fed up with it. I was getting so fed up with it. It was getting
I
so boring.
I think she is so
it was
funny.
Like, oh,
when
Linda's
she's drunk.
Oh, well.
No, I think she's so funny.
I didn't find it funny at all.
That's because you're a miserable ass and always have
I know. The only funny thing about it was the fact that she thought that she legit thought that no one knew she was drinking by drinking from that coffee cup.
Well, that's quite a common thing, isn't it? It's quite a common
like,
thing.
She you legit thought no one saw her with a bottle. Like, like it's like everyone knew Linda. Come
see,
on
I
see,
I think that she has been a... I think that it really... It's been a... I think I've always admired the way that they've done this alcoholism story with Linda, because it's not like they've sort of floated in and out of it and sort of made her an alcoholic as the story has needed, like they have done with other characters in the past. I think that they've sort of... It's been quite a realistic journey for her as an alcoholic, because at the same time, as somebody, you might say to somebody, you need to stop drinking, you need to sort yourself out. The realistic side of it is that she's only going to stop when she's ready to stop. And even pinning her down in a bath and hosing her down isn't going to make her immediately want to go to an AA meeting, you know? So it's...
Although Sharon's made her mission now, hasn't she? She failed with her own mother.
Well, I was going to ask you about this.
I thought that was unfair with her saying about Angie.
Well, I was going to ask you about this. So the cafe, you are sort of the person I go to when I need to talk about classic EastEnders. So talk to me about the impact that Angie's alcoholism had on Sharon's life.
Well, it was big.
And the comparisons that were made.
Yeah, it was a big time theme, because obviously she was living under the roof with her dad, Dirty Den, who was literally always underhanded and up to tricks and having affairs left, right, and centre. Yeah. And it was ultimately the fallout of Angie, because Angie loved Den so much and tried desperately to try to keep hold of him. And everything she did almost pushed him away further. And, you know, to the point that she had to fake that she had cancer. In order to try to keep hold of him. And then when he found out, that's when the famous divorce paper scene came.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sharon had to not only deal with the fact that her mother was an alcoholic, but she also had to deal with the fallout of her parents in its totality.
And the toxic relationship they had in the first place.
It was a very toxic relationship. And this is why I felt like it was a bit unfair to say that, like, you know, I tried to do this and that, because Angie was in a very difficult situation with Den, and it was like one that, you know, he was openly having an affair behind her back, and he didn't even try to hide it, but he stayed with Ange just out of convenience, and it was just,
who's doing that these days, I wonder. It was the comparisons, I think.
And so
Dirty Cindy.
I mean, yeah, Cindy's like, if I didn't know better, I'd say that they were
dead in high
somehow.
Heels. There's dead in, I mean, high heels. That's,
and she
Cindy
faked her death as well.
There
just
you
like
go,
death.
You see? Yeah, there you go. See?
It all works out in the end. So I felt like a bit of a dirty was done on Angie with that one. But at the same time, I do get it. I feel like that, you know, Sharon... Although, funny enough, despite Sharon seeing this in her family, like when she was younger, Sharon wouldn't touch alcohol. Now she can't get it off the bottle.
Room temperature Pinot out of the cupboard is our Sharon when things are difficult.
When she was trying to explain that Keanu was like dead, you know, daddy's dead. She was like, you could just smell the alcohol coming from her breath.
But she had to calm her nerves beforehand. I have to say, I thought Albie was really good this week.
That poor child. Why? How do they make child actors like not believe what they're seeing? Because like you imagine when he gets home, it's like, so is daddy dead, mum? And mum's no, it's acting, Albie. No, it's obviously.
I know, because they give these kids quite intense scenes to do, and I thought that was quite a lot for a kid of his age to do, and I thought the kid handled it really well. I really felt for him. I thought that was, and I loved the thing where they sort of established that parallel between Sharon giving him a cuddly toy and the cuddly toy being given back. I thought that was a really nice moment, which sort of totally encaptures that childlike logic. I thought that was really nicely done. And I actually thought Sharon as a character was great this week. There was sorts of lots of different elements for Sharon that I really enjoyed. But you're shaking. Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to disagree with me there.
No, I love Sharon.
I thought she had a really, really good week. But I agree with you. I know, always. But I agree with you. But I feel like it's very apparent that Sharon has such a history with alcoholics as well, because obviously she was with Phil for years. So she's got experience.
Sharon,
how to deal with them.
Sharon is the very definition of a functioning alcoholic. Let's be honest. She somehow finds
she hasn't quite stepped over the mark of being an alcoholic herself.
She can just drink to that top up where she's just her normal Sharon, you know?
And then stops herself. Yeah, painkillers, different kettle of fish altogether. But alcohol, she's fine.
I mean, don't put her near a painkiller because she'll just be addicted. She's got that really sexy gravelly voice, you know. She's always kind of walking around going, come on, let's, you know, go to the AA meeting, you know, and you know, Linda's there right on board. But so I think Sharon can kind of sympathize. It, obviously, in the back of Sharon's mind, she still blames Linda for the death of Keanu.
Well, this is the thing. I think that this is going to be something that is really going to have to be studied with these two. And I think something that will this is doubtlessly going to really affect their relationship going forwards, because as supportive as Sharon is being, there is still that spectre in the room that Linda killed Keanu. And I can't, there's a lot of what Sharon's actions this week, like, I couldn't help but just really admire the strength of her. Because for a start, she was dealing with Linda, who was responsible for Keanu's death. Now, disregarding the moments that led up to Keanu's death as to why it happened, you know, it wasn't like a cold-blooded thing. It was her, it was Linda trying to save Sharon's life herself.
She was defending Sharon.
She was,
with a meat
exactly.
thermometer.
Yes, but so she's got to deal with that. As well as that, she had to go through the whole funeral process, knowing basically the funeral of a guy that she helped bury. So she had so
cafe.
Much, yes, of course. She had so much going on in her head, I think, this week, with so many different additional elements from different directions coming at her. And I thought, for the most part, she dealt with it incredibly well. Like, because how do you do this week? How does any normal human being deal with the events that she's kind of forced to face this week? Like, it's crazy.
I know. She had a lot stacked up on her. I mean, Linda did too, but Linda dealt with it without basically drinking alcohol.
But didn't in the end. I thought that Linda is... Well, I know it's only
one
been
day.
One day, I should say. I know. But like she says, it's one day at a time.
She'll be
with
back.
This sort of thing.
Oh,
I
she'll
think
be there
so.
Shaking with her cup.
I think so.
But where was Phil as well? Phil's meant to be her blooming sponsor.
I know. I think I think you'd give up on Phil being your sponsor at some point, because if Phil's your sponsor, you know you've fallen down. You know
I must say,
down a rabbit
I
hole.
I am shocked to my core that they haven't involved Phil in one way or another yet. Like Phil's always involved in something. Exactly. I am
give it
shocked.
Time.
The only way he's kind of touching the subject a little bit is obviously he now has discovered that he is the dad, of Albie. But apart from that.
Think he will be the next to discover the truth. So Karen has returned this week. As we would say, does Julia's theme mean nothing? But I get that Karen needed to come back for this. You know, I thought they
100%.
Of,
Keegan came
whole...
back too. He went to the funeral.
Apparently,
did you hear that passing line? You had to catch the flight back from the funeral.
Now, again, I appreciate them trying, but at the same time, it's just sort of like they could have just not bothered saying that, because it took me a good 5 minutes to wonder why Sonya said that. I was kind of what are you on about?
I and strongly then believe that they should have had as many of the family as they could.
Yes.
They wrote out Bailey and Mitch
and
because
Chatham and Riley, they weren't there either.
Well,
none of them could face it. And Bailey is currently under lock and key because Mitch didn't let her leave the house, apparently.
Yeah, he's worried about Bailey. Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, I understand that. I can kind of see why. I see, no matter what you might think of any character, as soon as you get to a stage where they've now lost two of their children, I feel like there has to be some uncontrollable sympathy towards that character. And that's kind of where I'm at with Karen at the moment, because the poor cow.
Well,
buried...
Kat sympathize with
yeah,
her,
and
she?
I understand that completely. You know, it's I thought that Karen this week actually was very good. I thought that her return was necessary, and I felt like she had to have those final scenes with Sharon. I thought the way that they had that scene where everybody sort of turned out, or I say everybody, all the extras, all sort of turned out in the square. Shrimpy
took
his
hat
at. Shrimpy took his hat off. I thought that was a really nice moment, and sort of kind of put a nice sort of ribbon on Karen's time on the square and sort of made her feel like she was being supported for the funeral. And what that sort of did, I thought, was sort of remind us that for the six, this actually is far from over. Even psychologically, they're always going to have this at the back of their head. You know, even someone like Suki is going to struggle a little bit with sort of dealing with the repercussions of this as time goes on. But it would seem that the drama for the six is far from over. They may be taking a bit of a breather, they think, at the moment. But we had the return of Dean this week.
Yes, Dean Wicks.
Karen went to go and see Dean. Again, I sort of understood why she needed to do it. But the one person... See, now, I had an issue with this when Dean was sent to prison, because the policeman literally turned around to Dean and said, Linda told us that you did this, which no policeman would do in real life. So that at the time felt clunky, and I wondered why they'd done it, other than to kind of give us, the viewers, that satisfaction of Dean knowing that Linda had won. But now we've got the reason as to why Dean actually had to know that, and there was no other way really for him to know it, was so that he could tell Karen that Linda was behind him being in prison. And apparently we are led to believe that Karen is starting to believe him, because there was those moments where Karen was sort of looking at Linda a little bit suspiciously.
That's what I was going to say. At the Vic, when Sharon and Karen were talking to one another, something was said, and then Sharon looked at Linda and Karen caught that look between them. And then it was at that moment she was like, wait, I'm going to the shop. I mean,
must
how
go
quickly?
Before I show myself up again. Goodbye.
First of all, she went to the prison then to claim that she was Shirley Carter.
She was Shirley Carter, yeah.
Because it's as easy as that,
works.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I just pop into a prison and say, oh, yeah, I'm
that.
John Smith. Oh, yeah. Okay, John, in you come.
They're very
Have you
busy.
any ID?
Very busy
No,
at the prison services. Very busy.
I
I've got
appreciate
time
they're
to
very
check
good. I
everything.
appreciate their fall, you know. This is a political stance, which we won't talk about, but you know.
No.
But I mean, surely an ID, at the very
You'd think.
least,
You'd
at the
think.
very least, a
I don't
bus
know if it would be
pass
that
to prove who
easy.
they are, you know
I
what I
don't know
mean?
if it would be that easy for her to get in, but
Because
they
I
needed to
suppose
do it
who's.
quickly.
I know. So I know it's for the purposes of story that they rushed it along. Fine,
It's
I
the
get
world of
it.
soap. Now and
I
again, we
mean,
have to sort of roll our eyes and go with it, don't you?
Karen knows that Dean was unconvicted for Linda's rape. So I
Yes.
feel like maybe Karen should maybe take the lean toward maybe Linda's side still, even though Dean's kind of saying, oh no,
Yeah.
Linda's lying.
Because surely someone like Dean, if you know anything about him, of course he's going to lie. Of course he's going to
That's what
pretend.
I
He's going to make
mean.
this is, you know. So I get that the idea we were supposed to believe that when she went to the prison to see him, there was supposed to be those crumbs of doubt in her mind about Linda anyway. So
I mean,
I
he's been imprisoned really on very circumstantial evidence, let's be honest.
yes.
It's all very reliant
It's
on the
war for
fact that they,
police. War for
I
police. Of
mean,
course he
Wolford
has.
Police, Callum
Frankly,
is the head of Wolford Police. What do you
yeah. So
expect? You know,
it's
him
no
and
wonder
Jack.
really. But
But like it's all very, very, very loose. The fact it's on one woman's testimony, Linda, who they have a history together, and the meat thermometer. And I think really that's very tenuous at best. So I feel like,
Ever since Keeble left, Wolford
I
police has
mean,
gone
it's
down the
fallen
drain,
apart, hasn't it? It's
hasn't it?
just fallen
Yeah, just
apart.
without her.
It's her own fault. She so I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it was always going to be the trial, wasn't there, with Dean? So we still got that to come, and so that's obviously on its way now. So I suppose that kind of brings the sixth story a few
Yeah.
months down the line. I don't know how quickly the court case would come forward, but
I don't know, but I feel like this is now the start of more drama for Linda and specifically for Sharon, because Karen is already sort of, I think she had to bite her lip to even be nice to Sharon by the end. They kind of got on the same page, I think, a bit, but it won't take much for Karen to sort of, she doesn't need much excuse, I don't think, to turn against Sharon
that's
all
the thing,
over
isn't
again.
it? She doesn't need an excuse to turn on Sharon or any of them, really. I mean, she's still out for blood. She's her and Bernie, to be fair, are both kind of on the like sniffer dogs on the trail for who killed Keanu. And Sharon is their like still their number one suspect. So despite their kind of making up at the back of the Vic with the help of Kat, I feel like that was a fleeting moment because the emotion kind of overthrew them. And I think now with a clearer head, Karen, I say clear ahead, a Karen clear ahead.
Karen clear head, which is a
Yeah.
very foggy head for anybody else.
Still,
Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that she's still going to be on that path. I mean, unless Karen's back now as a more serious character,
I don't
I
think
don't know
she's
how they
back
could
back.
involve. No, I don't feel how they could involve other than maybe a bit of a shouting match next week. I can't really think how they would involve them anymore at this
I
point.
think we're supposed to believe now that this is the start of the Six's sort of very kind of hastily stuck together plans starting to fall apart.
Unravel a
You
bit.
know,
Aye.
sticky back plastic can only last you so long,
Look at
unfortunately.
your
And that's
calendar.
exactly. So that's the sort of, you know, the plan sort of worked for them, you know, circumstantial, like you say, very loosely, and they're lucky that their neighborhood is run by Wolford police, because otherwise they'd be
Aren't they
screwed.
just?
But I feel like this is going to be the start, I think, of this starting to crumble a little bit. So watch this space. But I'm glad that the Six is starting slowly to come back. Good that they had this break, but I think it's now going to slowly start to go in that direction again. So I am looking forward to it. And I have to say, I thought the episode at the end of the week was really, really strong with the performances. Again, we've spoken about this before. Brian Kirkwood's episodes are always a real treat. He seems to get it
He
in
gets
terms of
it.
scripting. Made very unwise decisions as a producer, I would argue. Would never forgive him for Pat, but script wise, I can't fault him. I think he writes some really, really good scripts, and he gets the characters very well. So, Alex, the final thing that we do, and
Yes.
as you know, because you've watched so many episodes since you've left, we do a gold star.
All
So,
right.
who would your gold star be going to this week? Your character of the week? Who has impressed you the most out of the show this week?
Well, let me have a think. My favorite, I have to say, and
Settle in, everybody.
this might be a little bit of bias as well, but I think the character is strong and has so much going for it. And I like the fact, actually, you mentioning it, that They are a bit Marmite with people. And that's Reese. I think Reese is a good
character.
You're
going to give Reese. All right, cool. So Reese gets your gold star.
I enjoyed Reese's scenes this week. I enjoyed that little bit of aggression toward Bianca. Mm-hmm. I like that he did it like almost like a dog baiting. He's going, you know, he's like, yes. He was almost encouraging it with Bianca. And I do like the relationship between him and Sonya. And I am looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with poor Debbie. And what's going to happen with the extras on the with the fraternity?
Yeah, the add-ons. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. So your guest rate, I'm going to give mine to Sharon. I think Sharon I think she had a really strong week. I thought there were some great performances in those scenes this week. So Reese and Sharon for the gold stars this week. As always on the podcast, the final section is comments from you, lovely people. Before we get to the comments, we have some news, which is quite exciting. EastEnders has announced that 3 new Mitchells are on the way as Stevie's secret family is to be revealed. Teddy turns up in Walford later this month alongside his 2 sons, older boy Harry and the younger son Barney. They'll be looking for Stevie, and once the family are reunited, Stevie is forced to tell Billy he has a half brother he never met. So I know what your views on the Mitchells are. You know, you're sometimes against the sort of shenanigan period, as you like to call it, with all the gangland stuff and all that kind of thing. I feel like the Mitchells needed this, though. If you're going to keep the Mitchell line going, you needed to sort of breathe some new blood into it. So I think I've seen a few people online sort of talking about how it's a bit disappointing that it's 3 blokes instead of kind of bringing some new females into the fray. I would argue that you're talking specifically about Ronnie and Roxy at that moment, and that you
want
them
back. I was about to say, that's
what
they're hinting
at, isn't
it?
You want them back rather than the new Ronnie and Roxy. You basically just want Ronnie and Roxy back. And I feel like more characters will come in because of this. You'll get some new women involved in this somewhere along the line. What are your thoughts about some new Mitchells coming in and sort of building up the new generation of Mitchells, basically? With Ben gone, Phil's sort of in his silver
retirement
years, I think. Yeah, I think you could argue. So what do you think?
Well, you're saying about Phil, I love Phil's become like businessman Phil. Like every time you see him now, he's in an office using a calculator, working out what the accounts are.
Admin Phil.
completely different, isn't
he? He's learned maths in his old age, bless him.
Yeah. He's done an open university course in his spare time. Yeah. Between bashings. The Mitchells. Yeah, I mean, the Mitchells have been basically the centre family of EastEnders since the beginning of the 90s, let's be honest. It started with Fowler and the Beals. It was always meant to be centred around them. And then as time progressed and they started to fleet off, and new executive producer wanted to give the show a bit of a kick up the bum after the really bad era of the late 80s, they introduced the Mitchells and it succeeded. And then they started introducing Peggy and Sam and so on, and it all increased from there. So I get it. I get that the show is synonymous with the Mitchells. EastEnders is the Mitchells. If I say the Mitchells one more time, I get a prize. So I do get it. And I think Chris Clenshaw also has an affinity with the Mitchells as well. I get that too. Hence why he did that flashback episode of the Mitchells.
Which I loved.
Good. Yeah, we all enjoyed it. We had Billy center stage as doing the historic shooting storyline, which we were all shocked by, but it happened and it worked. And Perry was pretty decent, actually.
He was,
much to my surprise. His dad coming into it. I love that character actually very much. I think he's a good character. I enjoyed him being in it and popping up the bar with Big Mo at the moment. So it's not so much as though I'm disappointed. It just feels like it's inevitable that he was going to do something more with the Mitchells. From the photo alone, as you say, they're 3 white men. So, you know,
get what you're going to get from. Yeah, well.
But then
the Mitchells have never been. You've never got diversity from the Mitchells, have you?
I get it. Well,
although. Although there is something interesting to be taken out of this. So the 3 cast members, Teddy is going to be played by Roland Manoukian, I think is the way you pronounce his name. Older boy Harry is going to be played by Elijah Holloway. And then Barney is going to be played by Lewis Bridgman. Now, looking into this, the promo picture that was released of the 3 new characters coming in, I was kind of curious as to why Barney appears to be holding a book. I was like, well, why is that there? What's that supposed to be telling us? So I kind of had a little bit of a look online. And it turns out that Lewis Bridgman has autism, which is great. So I wonder if this is actually going to be the first sort of grown-up regular character. We know we've got Ollie, and we've, you know, it's sort of been hinted at. But autism isn't something that's really addressed all that much with adult regular characters. So I think that this is maybe the start of something on that vein, which will be quite interesting to sort of see unfold.
I mean, again, it's with anything with the Mitchells, would that be considered a weakness in the bloodline
possibly
of the Mitchells?
Yeah, you so can see that. You can see that sort of being addressed. But I wonder if we're in an era now, I think, where even Phil, I think, has moved on from that sort of thinking. You know, he's not as...
I mean, Phil is
he's a rainbow warrior.
Flag.
He's
exactly.
a rainbow warrior these days. So
Hot
I
pants
think,
next week.
Absolutely. So I think that that's maybe where this storyline will be going with that character anyway. The other two, who knows what we might be getting from them, but I always like a bit of new blood being injected into the show.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I feel like, you remember when the Moon Brothers were introduced to the show?
Yes.
And they brought in a bit of shenanigans in their way that they kind of both worked in the underworld a little bit. I feel like that might be some kind of hint of that kind of going down that road as well. Barney's actually the one I'm most interested in. And it's because I think that because you already have a history written there, obviously you do with the Mitchells. So I'd be interested to see if he kind of is almost like Billy, seen as a bit of like the runt of the group because and how the Mitchells kind of deal with that. I mean, as long as they don't introduce them the same way as they introduced the Panesar brothers, first of all, and they kidnap like a Lola type character and then take her to a warehouse and watch Sky
Start
Sports.
Start them as they mean to go on, sort of thing.
And have Jags listening to Hole again or whatever it was, Atomic Kitten in his car, you know, that kind of stuff. Let's
it's
not
a good
start
song,
that.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
It's a good song.
But it kind of like wrote Jags's character straight away. And it wasn't
did,
a perfect
really.
Start for them, really, was it? I remember being obsessed with Kidat's socks and in that scene. When
you were obsessed
in
with a lot of things about Kidat.
I mean, he's
fair,
a good-looking lad, isn't he?
Back in the day, that was your thing. That sent you to sleep at night.
It's absolutely, didn't sleep. But as I say, it's very exciting. It's great. It's great, as you say, to inject it. I mean, it's the Mitchells, so I expect it. There's only one path it can go. But I'd like to be surprised.
And I think something about this era has been that surprises have sort of come. There's been plots taking, you know, going in some directions where
that's true.
You can see it coming a mile off, and then all of a sudden it will go wildly in a different direction. So I trust this era to sort of bring in, if you're going to bring in three, like you say, three new white Mitchells men, I think that we might get something a little bit different from them. And like I say, this is ultimately going to be the new generation of Mitchells, you know, because whether you like it or not, and how much we as EastEnders fans always cling to the past, thinking about Peggy and Grant and Phil and all that kind of thing, those years have gone. You need to, if you're going to invest in the Mitchells as the character group, instead of just letting them die out, you need to inject this new blood into it every now and again. So
I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see. It would have been a bit dangerous if they had chosen to introduce maybe an older female character or two sisters, because they're always then
instantly
compared.
Yeah.
And I think that we've seen, especially in the era of the internet, that, you know, keyboard warriors are very quick to kind of like bring it up and say, well, actually, and then just going off on one. It's like, well, they're not as good as this. Well, they're not as good as that. And I think that actually doing a fresh start, having new characters with new stories to tell, despite it being Mitchells or not, I feel like that actually is the wiser move. Don't play to the fans too hard, because if you start doing that, then it can be like it's being dictated to by people who don't necessarily have the right to tell you what to do.
Can you imagine being those sort of person, Alex? I can't imagine being in that role myself.
They did like my Cindy story, so, you know.
They kept that going for them. I'm yet to have a turkey thrown across the table at Christmas Day, though, Alex. Although I live in hope. But I think you're right in the sense that it's always wise to sort of bring in new characters with something connected them currently to the show. You know, even the Carters, when they first came in, had Shirley kind of guiding them in terms of their roles. The Knights have come in. They had Linda there and Elaine, who we kind of knew, even though she was played by a new actress now. It sort of kind of keeps that familiarity going. So it sort of gives you easier access to these characters coming in. And it'll be the same with these guys coming in. They've got that Mitchell connection. The Mitchells have got so much textured history to sort of remember, even if this is a new side of things that the Mitchells didn't necessarily know about. I feel like Phil definitely knows about it, though. It's one of those things that Phil just, because Phil knows
Oh, yeah,
everything.
he'd keep it under his hat.
Phil's, it's one of these secrets that Phil has just known about and just forgotten about. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think we'll be meeting them in the coming weeks. So we'll see where that goes. Have you got a comment to read out,
Oh,
Alex?
I have actually. Hang on a moment. Bear with me a moment. Here we go. So, I have found one from Lauren James. Hello, Lauren. How are you? Are you good? Good.
Lauren
And it...
Charles, for a start.
Oh, well, there you go. They wrote, the scene with Sharon and Karen going for it and then crying and sharing the moment of grief together was incredible. I am nervous to see what happens next with the Six and Dean. I had been hoping they had completely gotten away with it, but I'm starting to think that ultimately the truth will get out.
Finally got a comment from Becky L. Pickering, who says about the last episode of the week, I really enjoyed the episode, but I'm finding it a bit odd that people have forgotten that, as far as they know, Keanu held six women at knife point and tried to kill Nish. People wondering why Denise is acting odd on the day of the funeral when, as far as they know, it's the funeral for a man who held her at knife point and made her lie to the police, same with Linda being uncomfortable with hosting the wake. I mean, yeah. I think it's one of these things, actually, with the six cat with the six, where they're maybe overcompensating slightly, which may be why they end up ultimately falling flat on their face, which is why they're maybe starting to trigger a little bit of suspicion in the likes of Karen, who is kind of like, well, why are you so kind of scared? Or why are you so defensive? Or why are you looking a little bit scared and confused at the moment? So this is, I mean, poor Suki can't do all this on her own, can she? Suki would have been fine if this had just been her own plot, but she can't control the other women's emotions, unfortunately, as
I mean,
amazing
she's
as
got a
she
lot on her
is.
plate, hasn't she? She's got
She
Eve. She's
has.
got trying to convince Nish to give her all the businesses. She's got the murder. You know,
Yeah.
she's a busy woman. She's
Busy
got to look
woman.
after the
And she's
mini-mart,
broken, and she broke her leg in a
her
mosh pit.
ankle in a mosh
So
pit. I
there's only
know.
so much one woman can do,
I
bless
have to
her.
say that those women aren't being very good either, like with a betrayal, because if the police, like, and I'm surprised the police didn't do this when they arrested Sharon, if they looked back in their text messaging trail, like, they didn't use an encrypted text message service, they just used normal, like, iMessage or whatever, anything like that. Like, they could see that these little private conversations, meet in 5 minutes, meet at the vic in 5 minutes, we'll talk about the murder in 5 minutes. It's like, come on,
They weren't
ladies,
careful,
sort
were
yourselves
they? They
out.
weren't care.
Not
They
being
weren't
too
careful.
careful.
So, we come to the end of the podcast. Alex, thank you so much for
Oh.
stepping in. Have you enjoyed it?
No, I have actually.
Come,
Time's
coming out of,
flown.
hasn't it just coming out of retirement? You can go back to lying down now.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I draw
But
my pension plus?
you can. But there you go. Pallet
Oh,
decided to fall down. There you go.
hey.
Just for old
Old
time's
habits never
sake.
die.
But thank you very much, and please do come back anytime you feel
No,
like
you've
it.
had my
We'll
quota
you'd be
now.
well. You know, that's it for the year now,
I'm
isn't
like
it?
an audible credit. You get me one a year.
Yeah. You're not getting paid for it.
No, fine. Fine.
If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do the following. You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. Do email us at E20AfterDarkPodcast@gmail.com. Give us a like, give us a follow, and if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can find us on buymeacoffee.com/E20AfterDark. There we go then. So thank you very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Ree will be back next week with Tales of Portugal. So I hope she brought me something. That's all I can say.
Oof, I hope she bought me something. I suppose she bought me a stick of rock.
I think, do they sell rock in Portugal? Is that a thing?
I don't know. What do you
Well,
get from Portugal? It's a straw donkey,
straw
isn't it? A
hat, a straw
spade.
donkey. That's what they normally come back with, isn't it? Like a straw.
Blackpool's a stick of rock.
Yes.
Yeah, but
And
Portugal. Oh, Portugal's got those lovely custard tarts.
that'll do. Yeah, I hope she's brought back a
There
custard tart.
you go.
Marvellous.
You are a custard tart.
I am. It's been said many a time. So until next week, thank you very much for watching. It's goodbye from me.
Oh, hello, and it's goodbye for myself.
Yeah, there you
Bye
go.
bye.
Goodbye. Thank you very much. Bye.